Well, good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to tell you a little bit about a trip that Chris and I took a couple weeks ago. Chris and I were able to join Jan Swinson and a lovely young woman from Canada named Sarah Burnell with a trip to Angel's Place. And so I was asked by the elders if I might give you a quick update on that. For those who don't know what Angel's Place is, Angel's Place is an orphanage that is in Chirachanpur, India. It holds about 160 children at this point. And this congregation in particular, as well as others in the area, have been very influential in helping build the support for that. And so about every year or so, a year to 18 months, someone goes over and kind of does a quick check on things. And Chris and I got the opportunity to join Jan and Sarah in that this time. Now this trip was also a pretty special trip in that this is the 10-year anniversary of opening Angel's Place. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Because a lot of us were around at the very beginning. But 10 years now, Angel's Place. And so what I thought I would do this morning is a couple things, and I've asked Chris to participate with us as well. I've got two or three objectives for you this morning. I could play a lot of music for you. I could play a lot of things that they did. And frankly, in some of the things that I am going to play for you, you'll hear the kids singing in the background. You'll swear it's a recording, but it's actually the kids singing in the background. But I got to thinking about this morning, and I got to thinking about this idea of being a witness. And, you know, I have had the opportunity to visit Angel's Place three different times. And I've been a witness of what has been going on there. And I wanted to share with you what I have learned and what I've seen. And I've asked Chris to do the same. This was Chris's first trip. This was Jan's 11th trip to Angel's Place. And so, of course, Jan has seen the most change. But it's a remarkable thing. And I thought I would share with you two or three things this morning. First of all, I thought I would tell you a little bit about the new building that was built. Now, many of you know that in addition to the boys' dormitory, there was a girls' dormitory, kind of a one-floor building that had the girls in half of it and then the eating facilities in the other half. Well, over the last 5 or 6, 8 months, we have invested in building additional resources there and put a second and third floor on the girls' dorms. I want to show you some pictures of that. I want to tell you a little bit about what they did and how they dedicated that space. I'll show you, obviously, some pictures of the kids as we go through as well, but I also got to thinking that I think most of you have not had the advantage of meeting two very, very important people. One is our Sangha. Our Sangha is the coordinator of Angel's Place. He, as he'll tell you the story, he, with Jan, kind of began this idea of how to support children in the Chirachanpur area. And so Chris and I did a video of his, an interview with him, which is 35 minutes or so, well, maybe not quite that long, but close to that. So I'm going to show you every minute of it. No. thankful to my Wiz daughter, Olivia, she cut down, and we're going to show you just a few pieces of his interview. Then I'm going to show you an interview with an individual who is the superintendent of Angel's Place, Anglion. Very special, very unique man. He does some very remarkable things there. And he's been there for 6 years as the superintendent. He's the individual directly accountable on a day-to-day basis for the children. And so I'm going to do a couple of those things this morning, show you a few things. And then I've asked Chris, who had his first opportunity to travel with us over there, to come tell you a little bit about what his impressions were as well. Okay? So that's what we're going to do this morning. And again, I've got lots of additional pictures, lots of additional videos. If you're interested, we could stay here for a long, long time. But what I want to do today is just bring to you a witness that tells you a little bit about the impact that you are having, you specifically in this congregation, those of you that are sponsors, those of you that pray for this work. I want you to understand what's going on and the impact going on over there. Okay? So, the first thing I want to do is tell you just a little bit about the trip, and I'll show you a couple videos, pictures here about the trip. It helps if I plug it in, doesn't it? Okay. Thank you. So, this is the girl, what was the girl's dormitory? Now, those of you that have seen pictures from previous trips would recognize that basically the first floor here was what existed. At this far end is the medical infirmary. They have a place where they take care of the children. They have a doctor that comes in once a week to check on the children and is able to support them there. The middle of the bottom floor here are the girls' dorms. You can see it was very small for the number of girls we have. In fact, sometimes there were two, sometimes three girls to a bed because it was a small space. And then at the very end here is the first floor is the dining area where the boys eat on one side, the girls eat on another side, and there's a screen area that goes into where the cook provides food. That's what's existed. And over the last 6 months, based on capital campaigns from this group and many other sponsors and individuals interested, the building has been built. Let me take you through very quickly a couple other pictures of this building. It's a very beautiful building. It's very uniquely made. You can see, maybe if Steve could turn a little more lights off, maybe I get a little bit better vision there, but you can see on the second floor here, this entire second floor is designed to support activities there at Angel's Place. The far end, the one with the windows down here at the end, that is a suite, if you will, that is designed for those of us that are Americans or not Indians. It has a couple, there's like three little bedrooms areas in there. Chris and I stayed in there. Sangha and his family stayed in there. There's a little dining area, a little place where we could eat. And then American toilets. May not sound like much to you, but it's important to me, I can tell you. and then the rest of that floor has meeting space. Here's just another picture from another angle. Has meeting spaces in it. This is the second floor. You'll see that both the second and the third floor... Thank you, Steve. Both the second and the third floor have a...
I turned the mic off, so...
I should be fine. I should be fine. Thanks. The second and third floor both have kind of verandas. You see that on the outside here. This is a picture of one of the verandas. And on the inside the building, this is the space, if you can see that. It's on the second floor. This will be where the older girls will be moving. They just finished the building when we got there. In fact, there were still a few things that needed to be completed. And so they'll be moving most of the older girls up to this space to provide them the... a little bit more space to kind of stretch out and move a little bit. They've also put a conference room on this floor. And so there is not only teaching space, but the library will be located on the second floor here, as well as the girls' dormitory area. You can see girls' bathroom has been designed. They still have to put in the showers, but everything else has been installed for them. So... this is why the American toilets are important. let me tell you about the third floor. The third floor is a large, very large, actually, assembly hall. You can see the chairs set up here in the assembly hall. We're standing on the stage looking toward the back of the building. There are 350 chairs in there, inside the building. I mentioned that there are verandas on both sides. You open the doors... and there is seating for another 150 out on the verandas on both sides. They can still see and hear the speaker from there. In fact, at our event, they are very big about special events in India. And so we had a special opening of this Lydia's house, which is what it's called. And we had several speakers, and I'll tell you a little more about that in a moment. But we had, at the beginning of the event, about 300 people. At the end of the event, we had over 500 folks that had shown up from the community and from other orphanages and other places to celebrate, if you will, this activity of opening this new building. Additionally, there was a really nice stage in the front set up so that the speakers and or performances, you know, the kids love to perform. We've talked about that in the past. That is available. They've invested in a sound system that allows everybody in the audience to be able to hear and see. Chris and I were able to take over a new computer, a new microphones, some sound equipment, as well as video projection equipment, so that they can now
really kind of use that space very similar to how we might use this space. And it's one of the only places in that whole area that has that kind of capability. In fact, one of the things we did in the last night was with the video, we took a bunch of VeggieTales and things like that, you know, the cartoons for the kids. We played several of those on the back wall there for the kids. They had a great time and loved that, enjoyed that a lot. This is the dedication plaque of Lydia's house. And again, you know, the story comes directly from the story of Lydia, who, when her family she and her family was converted, she said, "If you find me faithful, come stay in my home." And Jan gave a wonderful speech about that idea and how this space, Lydia's house, was dedicated to God's service. Just a few things. They love banners. In India, there's always banners and plaques and things. So this is a picture just of some of the boys that were putting up that. That was all one piece, by the way, that they put up there as a kind of welcome on the third floor of the Lydia's house. So we began the day, and I'm going to tell you specifically about the dedication here. We began the day with our Sangha. This is our Sangha. You're going to hear from him in just a minute. He was the master of ceremonies for the event. He's a very, very special man. He also runs the Impulse School of Preaching, which is about 2 hours, would you say, Chris? About 2 hours away, through one of the roughest roads I've ever traveled on. So he and his family also operate the School of Preaching, of which there's, I think, 15 or 18 young men there that are training. And then he also runs Angel's Place. Jan likes to call him Big Shot. We are very blessed that Sangha has a very strong reputation throughout this whole community. And so when Sangha speaks, things get done. God found us just the right person to run this activity. So he was the master of ceremonies. Jan played a very large part in this, as he, in this case, was offering a specific prayer. This was at the dedication of the plaque here. You see the children here dressed in tribal clothes. In fact, one of the things that they gave Chris and I was not only this wonderful tribal tie, but also this tribal vest. I think we understand that these vests were made for Indians, not Americans. They're a little, little small, to say the least. And then this gentleman here with the back toward us, he actually was a very high ranking official in the area, politician. And he came and was the official guest of the event. Again, there's a lot of ceremony during these kinds of things in India, as I understand it. He also brought with him his contingent. Can you see these folks carrying guns? Chris and I were looking out the window, and all of a sudden these guys show up with guns, and we're going, what's going on? But because he is a very important man, and we've told you before that in this area there's a lot of insurrection, there's a lot of unrest. People are constantly fighting and battling. This is a tribal area of India. He travels with armed guards. I don't think I put the picture in of... No, I didn't. One of my favorite pictures that I took was, you see this gentleman here that's walking back with the two little girls back there? The next picture is he's pushing them on the slide. It's great. Out of the, yeah. But they were only there while he was there, and they didn't bother us at all. But it was part of the security process. Here we're inside. This is our Sangha and speaking to us, welcoming us, getting things going. Throughout the day, there were several events, lots of speakers. And there were also a lot of children performances. The kids, all 160 of them, started the event with a welcome song, got up on stage, sang this welcome song to all the participants. And then they sang a song that Sarah had taught them from Africa. They sang the song in Swahili, actually. Beautiful song, wonderful. And then later, there were several other kids that got up to perform as well. I'll show you a couple of those as we go through. One of the things they did, which was very impressive, was they recognized those children that are among the Angels Place that are in the military or planning to go into the military. This is kind of like a ROTC kind of investment. You can see there are several of these kids. Sangha started with this. He went on to the kids that were the high academic performers. He went on to the kids that played football. He went on to he just kept adding and adding. By the end, most of the children were on the stage. It was a really neat idea and wonderful event. Tribal dancing. You can see the girls here were doing a dance. This young woman here in the front, his name is Rejoice. She happens to be one of the kids that our family sponsors. They did a lot of this to try to, you can see them dressed again in these colors. This is the Paiute tribe. Again, remember, this is a tribal area of India. And so there's a lot of things going on there that kind of help the community as part of this event as well. And then, as I say, the kids sang, both the young kids, the older kids. That's a picture of Sarah there, a very talented woman who helped us through the activity, singing with the children. Jan spoke. Jan was the primary speaker, did a wonderful job talking about Lydia's house and its illustrations in the Bible. And then here again are girls dancing. I don't know if you can see this very well, but this is a dance that is the history of their tribe, and they go through all the different professions. That here they're actually digging in the soil and planting. They go through all kinds of things, from weaving to different kinds of professions within that business area. And then there was a group also that came and did the bamboo dance. Some of you have seen, we did this here a while ago, where they moved the bamboo on the floor and the kids dance around it. These are not our children. Those were actually professionals that came in to perform in this area. Some of the boys here did break dancing. They had a great time. They're actually quite good. This young man that's doing the thing there, he's the other kid that we sponsor. But they were very, very talented kids. A lot of performing, kids singing activities there. Okay, so you understand how the event went. It was a fairly special event, something a little different. But I thought it'd be interesting, and you might be interested to meet Sangha. Because most of us haven't had a chance to see Sangha. Now I'm going to tell you, this is a video of him, and he's a little hard to understand. He's a little hard to understand because he's got an Indian accent, but he's also just a little bit hard to understand. So what he's going to talk about is how he and Jan met, and a kind of the first conversation that they had. And then I asked him a second question, which was, tell me what you would like to say to the sponsors. And so he tells a little bit about some of the things he'd like to say to the sponsors. And the third question I asked him was, tell me what you want to say specifically to the Holiday Park Church. Okay? So those three things will be his conversation here. And hopefully, if everything works right, you'll be able to hear him well. And let's just make this larger. Okay. It was working just a moment ago. We know how these things go, right? Make sure I've got everything turned on. Okay. Didn't do it. One more time. Check the settings. This is normally where Chris jumps in and saves me. I know what the problem is. Operator error.
And I was asked to meet with him by another. I met with Brother Jayanti Swanson in Siliguri. He visited India for Shanya, and I was asked to meet with him by Brother Jayesh and Gulab missionary to India, who is the sponsor of Infant School of Preaching. And I went there to meet Brother Jayanti Swanson in Siliguri. And we had 3 days there in Tulalip Tree. And we was discussing about so many topics, various topics. And last day, he asked me, what is the need of your community? That was the question he asked.
What's the need of your community?
Then I answered, well, the need of the community is 2 months. If I say, oh, you may not believe. Then I said, I will tell only one thing. Then he said, yes, go ahead. Then I told him, we need orphanage. Then he asked me, why do you need orphanage? Yes, I explained about the needs of the community because of so many insurgency problems. The ethnic class took place in the year 1992, between the Nagas and the Kukis. So many parents were murdered and killed and shot dead. Then, again, in 1997, another ethnic class took place here in Manipur.
Ethnic class?
Between the two insurgency groups. The Kuki militant groups and the Zomis. Then so many houses were burned up.
Houses were burned up.
Many properties and many parents. Then again, in addition to that, due to drug addicts, strong drink, heroin number 4, and AIDS, and so many parents died and left their children. They were looking after by their grandfather, grandmother, they were old, and some of them, and most of them were homeless, roaming around here and there, no schooling. So I think that is what they
did. Hopefully several sponsors and volunteers will see this video.
Okay.
So what would you like to say to them?
Well, I personally, or on behalf of the Angels Place, and on my own behalf, I would like to say we are very, very thankful to them and grateful to them. Due to their great efforts, due to their love towards us, this can only in existence.
Sure. Anything you want to say to the Holiday Park Church?
Well, I'm so thankful to the Holiday Park Church of Christ taking this initiative, this holistic ministry. So the Holiday Park Church is not being taking up this project. Most of the children will roaming around here and there. Some may be come a better life. Some may not have even home to stay and to live. They will be indulged in so many unwanted things like intoxicating drugs, drug addicts and whatnot, you know. So this Holiday Park Church of Christ is doing great job. Really, really we are grateful.
So could you understand it? You know, he talked about what impact the Holiday Park Church has had, and he talked about what the sponsors have had in terms of impact. He's a very unique man, a very blessed man. One of the greatest, for me personally, one of the greatest honors I've ever got when he introduced me to the crowd. I had the opportunity to speak at the event as well. He introduced me as his good friend. I like that, you know, across this culture. Now let me introduce you to Englion. Englion is the superintendent of school, also a very soft-spoken man. So you have to listen closely. But I've asked him a little bit about why he works with the kids. He was a childhood friend of Sangha's. They grew up together. He retired from the bank as a senior manager in Delhi. He moved back to the area. Sangha went to him. I cut this part out, but he went to him over and over and over again, asking him to come work with the children. And eventually he explains why he came and what he does there.
I am V. Elliot. V stands for Balte. And that is my clan. I belong to Balte tribe. And I am here as superintendent.
I just want to clarify. He said he belongs to the Paiute tribe. That's what these colors stand for. Again, this is a tribal area. So there are 16 different tribes that are represented at Angel's Place. The most prevalent is the Paiute tribe. That's what most of the kids speak that language as well in that area. All the kids there speak that language as well. So he's actually from that region, went away to work and then came back.
Then I came, saw the children.
Yeah.
Yes. I may be observing here. That's how I got involved. And till now, I'm the longest serving superintendent. Other superintendent, 1 year, 2 months, 3 years. This is my 6th year, no?
Yeah.
Huh. So, maybe, finally I said, okay, here is a mission field. The children need some help, guidance. Go home. But then I used to pray, okay, Lord, give me 1 minute to be here. Give me the strength. Give me the patience. Give me endurance.
What's your wish for the children as you think about what you want them to be?
I wish that they are strong in faith and come up into life. Get some decent job and manage their own life. Now they are depending on somebody's charity. Now they are recipients of someone's help. One day I want them to be givers of this blessing, to be blessings to others. Now they are receiving. I want them to be giving one day.
Did you understand what he said? He said, now they're receivers of charity. First of all, he said, I want them to be strong in faith. But then he said, now they're receivers of charity. I want them to be givers of charity.
What message would you want to give to the sponsors and the volunteers that help with James Connection supporting the Angel's Place?
I would like for them to know that the funds they are donating are usually purposefully, and the pay they have taken is not in vain.
So he said the funds they're donating are used very purposefully. In fact, he showed me how he's reduced by 20% the operating cost of the facility. And then he said that the pains that you're taking are not in vain.
I wanted to continue, not only here, but in other places where the need is there.
So he said that his objective for the children was that they would move from being people who take charity to being equipped and understand how to give charity. And he said for the sponsors that he wants continued support, but also not just there, but other places. And he wants people to know that things are being done very efficiently. I thought you would enjoy getting to know them just a little bit, because most of you hadn't had that opportunity to see who they are, to see what God has given us. They're very, very unique, very strong men that have added a lot to what we're doing there. I'm going to ask Chris now if he might come forward and just tell you a little bit about his experience there, and then I'll wrap things up.
So, one of the big things that really struck me being there is how poor that area of the world is. Now, India is a poor country just in general, and I actually had an opportunity to go to Calcutta after being at Angel's Place, and it's very poor there, but this area is like a third world country in a third world country. People living in small shacks that they've constructed themselves with whatever materials they could find, and they have maybe one, two rooms in their house, a mattress on the floor that they all sleep on. They have to scrounge for food. So it's a very poor area in the world. And the fact that these children now, who are spectacular, they are amazing in some of the things that they're doing, they all now have a chance. Where before they were kind of thrown onto the scrap heap of the world, forgotten, not cared for, now they actually have a chance then to move on and do great things. And they have the opportunity to go to school, which that wouldn't have happened before. They have the opportunity for health care. Some of them were very sick, and now they're not. And they have the opportunity to learn about God and what Jesus did for us. And they're reaping the benefits, I guess would be a way to put it. But the poverty there is very stark. At one point, I was there, the kids were singing in that big auditorium. They were singing, preparing for the event that Saturday, and I was listening to them singing. They sounded beautiful, and I'm looking out just off the balcony, out like toward the back of the building, and there are people like scrounging for food, and a lady was washing her clothes in this dirty creek that kind of goes behind Angel's Place. These small little houses, and just seeing that and knowing that these kids now have a chance to become whatever they want to be, and many of them are taking advantage of that, which is wonderful. The other thing that kind of struck me too is that this area is kind of a contested area. There were military everywhere we went, like you saw in that picture where those army guys were there guarding the official that was there. It was kind of funny. Those guys were there all day. They actually stayed after the official left, and Song had brought lunch in for everybody, so he fed 500 people there, which was kind of amazing to see that. But the army guys ate too. They got a plate and they sat on the floor on the ground with the kids and ate with the kids. But one of the things that also was kind of surprising, when I got on the plane to go to Calcutta after I was leaving Angel's Place, the guy sitting next to me said, "You're very brave for being here." It's like, oh, I didn't even think of it like that. Well, now you tell me. No, but I didn't feel unsafe at all. But it was a great experience for me personally. It life-changing experience, really. And I would definitely go back again to see these kids and just to see what wonderful things are happening there. And all the different events that we have and all the fundraising we have is definitely worth it, because it's changing them, and they appreciate it. It's not like it's not lost on them at all. They are very appreciative of everything that we do, and they're just excited to meet us and to hear stories about our lives here and what you guys are all doing. And it was really just an amazing experience. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. I think if I remember, the child you guys sponsor is number 3, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a neat experience for me, was to see, and he has a brother that's there as well, right? Yeah, and number 3 is a little shy, but his brother wasn't, and his brother brought the sponsored child to see Chris and give him a chance for them to interact. It's a very, very remarkable thing. As Chris was talking, one of the stories I just wanted to tell you very quickly was at the event. As I say, lots of politicians, lots of those kind of things talking. Ironically, the chief politician spoke. 90% of his sermon was about God and about Jesus and about what specifically this place was doing to advance the call of what God had done. I don't know how many politicians you might hear that from, but that was an amazing thing. But of all the speakers, there was a young man that got up. I don't think it was planned. I think they kind of opened it up, and he got up. He got up and spoke. He was maybe 25, 26, somewhere in that age. And he said, "I just wanted to come up front and tell you that my brother has been here for 10 years. And he said, paraphrasing him, but he said, my brother has had an opportunity to live a healthy life. He has an opportunity for school. He's had an opportunity to learn specifically about who God is and what God has done for us." And he said, "I could never have given him that." He said, we didn't have the ability. I'm on my own. He was on his own. He was, and this place has been to him, a family that I couldn't provide. I'm so thankful for Angel's Place." And then he sat down. And it just kind of went by. But for me, that really struck me as the purpose and the impact that this is having is very significant. I have a few minutes, if you don't mind. I'll show you just a couple pictures of the kids, and then I want to read to you 2 scriptures. Did you hear the kids, by the way, singing in the background of Anglion's interview? Yeah, I play it for somebody and they say, oh, well, were you having a recording in the background? No, that's the kids. The kids singing all that song, all 160 of them were singing that. Let me just flip through a few quick pictures of the kids that I thought you might enjoy. And tell you just a little bit about the stories. You know, every morning at approximately 5:30, the alarm goes off. There's a big metal thing and they ring the bell. Kids are up. Kids come out and have a morning. They start the morning. Then they spend an hour and a half in study. Study is very different there. They all kind of in one big room or two or three big rooms, and they just repeat their lessons out loud. Not to each other, to themselves. So it's kind of a rote memory. But the first hour and a half each morning they spend, Josh, they spend studying. Okay? The next half hour they spend cleaning up the place. And then they go to breakfast. They eat two meals a day. They eat before school. They eat after school. The school does not provide them food. I have a couple pictures of the school that I thought you might be interested in as well. Some of these kids are amazingly talented. Regina here has a voice that's obviously God-given. There's actually two kids there. They're huddled together in the early cold morning. You'll see a lot of pictures of this little girl. She just fascinated me. She just came the last time I was there. She was a part of the last group that came and was admitted. Sweet little kid. Here are kids studying, more kids. Whenever you have a camera, they follow you around wanting their pictures taken, and then they need to see them, right? So it's a lot of fun for them. Sarah was a very, very sweet Canadian woman, about 26. She's actually a fairly well-known violinist in Canada. She's a choral director. She found Angel's Place through a friend of a friend and has been there twice and helps kind of to develop the kids' singing abilities. Some of the girls, you know, we write letters to the kids, and these letters mean more to these children than you can imagine. They stand in line, and their number is called out because, you know, they're all numeric and they have their number memorized. Their number is called out, and they very quickly open and then share their stories and their thoughts with everyone else standing around them. These are the three supervisors here. One male supervisor, two female supervisors. One of the female supervisors is a nurse, and so she provides nursing support. And then the male supervisor, very interesting story, got a great interview with him, but it was just too long for this conversation. But he himself was an orphan. At a different orphanage, and he found a very specific need that he could fill, and he left a very good job to come be the supervisor of the boys. Again, kids just, you know, you think the older boys wouldn't be interested, but no, they're very, very, very interested in this. Here's some recreational activities. You can see that Jan had them put in a basketball court. It's a beautiful, beautiful court. It gives them a nice place to play. They play a lot of badminton. They play basketball as much with their feet as they do with their hands. But they're learning. We spend a little time teaching them a few games while we were there. There she is again. She's a sweetie. And just, you know, some of the kids, they wash their own clothes. They take care of all of their own needs the old-fashioned way. That's the swimming pool, they call it, right beside there, where they get their water for cleaning. Boys clean their own clothes as well. These kids are just very, very beautiful. A lot of studying going on while we're there, badminton with the girls, just sitting around. You know, almost everybody in India does that. I don't know how they do that. You know, get down in that kind of crouch like that, you know. You see the young folks, you see the old folks. Everybody eats like that. I don't know how they do it. Again, these American legs don't make that work. They spent a lot of time rehearsing to perform for the community because it was very important to them. This was what they called the chamber choir, a subset of all the kids that performed a couple songs in four-part harmonies that they learned in 3 days. And they don't read music. They've never seen the staff like we have. They hear it,
And so Sarah was very good at that. We take pictures of all the kids and send those to their parents, adopted sponsors. And then they play a lot of games. This is Carom. You know, I used to play this when I was a kid. It's a great little game the kids play. A lot of swing sets and things like that. You see all the clothes in the background? Of the 4 days I was there, every day there was clothes out. The girls were drying clothes and taking care of things. I have a nice cut across my face where I hit that clothesline without seeing it one afternoon playing basketball with the kids. This is Sangha's grandson. He's just a cutie as well. As part of this, Sarah, here are all the kids performing at the actual event. You can see all the kids on stage. I recognize my time is short. I think this may be close to the last slide. These are the three supervisors that take care of the kids. They have two for the girls and one for the boy. I tell you, this young man is very impressive. He manages 160 kids instantly. They do what he says. They respect him. They manage him. He manages them very, very well. And in his interview, he says, "I understand them because I myself am a poor orphan boy." One last thing I wanted to mention to you all as a congregation, and that is that one of the things I had them do is I brought back a Paiete songbook, and they taught me, or they performed for me, three songs that we know in Paiete. And so I'm going to challenge the congregation sometime before the summer. We're going to learn those songs in Paiete. They're songs you already know the music to, but we'll learn it, we'll record it for them, send it to them. It'll thrill them as an opportunity. So in closing, I wanted to just share with you two quick verses that I think summarize this activity for me. One of them is one verse that I shared with them, and that is from 2 Thessalonians. And chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightfully so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith, and in all persecutions and trials you are enduring." I know this was written to the Thessalonians, but I think we could have shared this directly with them, because it's in them we can boast in what they've done and who they are, and the love that is increasing there is dramatic. And then I was thinking about a verse to share with you, those who sponsor, those who pray, those who are concerned about these children as part of this family here. And this is from Philippians, also in chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. "I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." And I think, although this was written for the Philippians, this is an excellent verse to describe how they feel about what you have done for them, your partnership in the gospel from the very first day, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So hopefully you got a little bit out of this, got something maybe you hadn't seen before about Angel's Place and the children there. It's an important ministry, it's an important activity. The last thing I want to mention to you is that in the video, Sangha said, you know, over 100 children have been baptized, have been converted because of what this ministry does. I mean, it's a great thing that we're dealing with their physical lives and taking care of their education. But we also have the opportunity, both there and here, to offer an invitation that allows us to recognize what we've been given, who we are because of what Jesus has done for us, and to understand the sacrifice that he made for us. So they, this morning, I'm sure, had that opportunity and invitation, and I make the same one this morning to you, that if there's a specific need you have, whether it's to become part of this family that is serving God, or perhaps there is another need. If you could come forward as we stand and sing, we'll help you with that.